years, I was just really not even thinking about it. I was really just focusing on my life the way that it was in Canada. I wasn't really keeping in touch with my relatives. Maybe I saw him once ever so often when I visited. I don't believe I called that often. We started to reconnect recently when my grandfather was ailing and getting close to death. They've been tremendous support in that time. I started talking with my great-great-uncle Bogdan, who's my grandfather's cousin, and his family. But our conversations always seemed a little bit tense. It's the kind of thing that it's polite to ask, how are you, but I don't really know them that well at this point, so there was always that tension. And my great-great-uncle used to be a prosecutor or an investigator. He knows how to hold a pause, which makes me uncomfortable. I really want to tell him all my secrets. But, you know, recently, as you have known, when Helena and I decided to get married, and we decided to do that in Ukraine, a few obstacles came up. So one of them was that I was a dual citizen for Ukraine, because I still had my citizenship, which in Canada is perfectly fine, but in Ukraine it's not. So it could have taken a very long time. We didn't know what was going to happen, so I reached out to my uncle Bogdan and asked him to help us. So he said he will. And we decided to set this date. Everything seemed to be going well. So I arrived in Ukraine. I was picked up, and the cab driver was given strict instructions to take me down to his house, where a meal was being prepared by my aunt, which gave me enough to eat. Then they took me down to the bus station where I met Helena with enough food for us for the whole evening and then the morning as well. And that seemed to have been happening all the time. So they would feed us, look after us, and pretty much support us all through that process. My uncle advised us along every step. It was a bit of a rush getting everything done, but we made it. It happened. What I didn't expect, so I thought that they would help us with, you know, the logistics of the process. Told me where to go, what to do, what to fill up, all of that. I didn't expect that they would really care that much. What I began to realize is that I've missed a lot over the years without keeping in touch with those relationships. And when I looked at the scripture today, this recent experience kind of opened up something else that I saw in this parable. The prodigal son, the younger son, asks his father for a portion of his inheritance, which is a rather audacious request for a child to make of a living parent. But there was something more to this. First of all, the ancient Greek word that we have translated as property is actually a word, osia, that actually has a double meaning. One of the meanings means essence. So there's something more than simply goods. To that extent, I could see the inheritance inevitably for me as I was moving to another country was the family relationships, the culture, the life, the experiences, everything that I pretty much took it with me, the very life itself that I took with me without even having to ask. Life, for that matter, or the soul, is inherently my while I'm alive, and yet it is inherently God's, and it's, you know, freely given. Then, further in the text, it reads, "A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, where he squandered his property in a dissolute living." That word dissolute kind of stuck with me as to what it can potentially mean. So there are different translations. Sometimes it's translated as wild. Sometimes it is translated as reckless. Further down in the text, the older brother makes the accusations of the younger brother having spent all that property with prostitutes, which maybe there's a reason for that. But I really looked into that word dissolute, and it actually comes from old Latin word that means to dissolve. So whichever the life was simply dissolved whatever the property or the inheritance was for the younger son. It might not have been property itself. It might have been skills with which he left. Might have been the understandings. I look kind of at the facts as to what it can potentially mean. To me, suddenly, this word dissolute could also translate into a life that's led that's really carefree. There's lots of things to do, but really I don't pay attention as to what it is that I'm doing and, you know, what the consequences of that might be further down the road. We have that saying, use it or lose it. And there's something to that. Without me really keeping in touch with the relationships, something was being lost in that process. I begin to see that really maintaining relationship is something that takes a lot of work. And it takes a lot of time. Time that I can spend either on myself or to do things that I want, or dedicate a few minutes in a day, a few hours in a day to actually call up a friend, talk to a relative, to maintain those relationships, listen to them, pay attention. To this end, same thing goes for God. I think that through human relationships, I inevitably can either connect with God or I can begin to be disassociated from God. Because if I'm not willing to give a little bit of my time to somebody else, eventually I will not be willing to give a little bit of my time to God as well. And in that process, that connection will be lost. To that end, I begin to lose my place in God's kingdom as well. And there is a little bit of a connection, because the first 10 years in Canada, I was so focused. There certainly were friends and things to do, and life was grand, but I wasn't really thinking that much about God either, really. I was just, you know, kind of living it out. With actually being on the sea walk yesterday and thinking about this whole thing, I suddenly realized that it takes a bit of a eating of a humble pie, a bit of a curbing of, what would I call it, pride, maybe? Somehow I've always found it a little bit difficult, once I haven't talked to somebody for a long period of time, to actually go back and talk to them. Because to me, I know that I've made decisions, like if I'm sitting and thinking whether I should watch a movie or call a friend, and I decide to watch a movie, I know I just made that decision. And it's a little bit difficult for myself to admit to that. So once a certain time has passed and I haven't talked to somebody making those decisions for a certain period of time, it's difficult to go back. So first thing that I did was actually call my relatives in Ukraine and thank them for everything that they've done. I've probably done that several times now, but I'm feeling better every time that I do. The other thing I will take for myself is that I've had a whole bunch of friends that supported me a lot through the period after the car accident, and I haven't talked to them in a long time. For myself, I know that I need to reconnect. And also revisit how much time I dedicate to my spiritual life as well. Because unless I do take that time and connect with God, I, as the prayer in the beginning had said, will be dead to God. Simply because if, let's say, I am not taking part in somebody else's life, then simply I am not existing in that life. It has less to do with death, simply being out of mind, out of heart, out of sight, out of mind. That. There's something else that will be needed along that time. It takes a lot of courage to be really loved and cared for as well. Because having spent a lot of time just kind of minding my business, it's there's a lot of hugs that go with that. That takes time getting used to. And good food too. Have to be ready to be loved, cared for, and forgiven. Almighty God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find rest in you. Grant us purity of heart and strength of purpose, that no selfish possession may hinder us from knowing your will, and no weakness hinder us from doing it. But in your light, we may see light, and in your service, find our perfect freedom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.